Good morning.
Good morning.
Hope everyone is ready for a happy Father's Day. So I wish everyone, all you fathers, and thank you for being here. And I'm sure some are at other churches or some are probably still in bed eating breakfast in bed this morning with toast all over them and cereal all in the bed. I want to take a moment just to recognize the fathers. Do we have any great-grandfathers here? Will you stand, great-grandfather? Just remain standing. One. And two. How about grandfathers? Now, how about you just plain, ordinary, everyday fathers? Thank you. God bless you for all that you do, for trying to do your best to pass down the faith to your children and working hard and treating people nicely and trying to be a good person and doing the best that you can. It is appreciated. And appreciated you being here in church today. It's the best thing you can ever do for your children and your family. A few announcements, trying to go through these kind of quickly. Just remind you for our crying room, coughing room, that's in the library. You can sit in there. Hopefully the speaker's plugged up. If it's not, you can plug it up. Nursery is open, hopefully every Sunday. And this time you take your red pad, sign it, pass it down. If any information has changed, your phone number, address, then fill out an I wish card, and that'll get to me quicker and make sure that it gets changed in my address and the church address also. And you know about the praise and prayer requests, you can fill those out. And if you've still got one, you can raise your hand and they will get you one. Vacation Bible School, July the 15th through the 19th from 6:30 to 8:30. And I have several people who want to join the church, and we're going to have a class this Wednesday. I'm trying to sell on the time, probably around 3 or 4. I'm talking to the people today, and if anybody else wants to join. And when I say new members, it doesn't mean that you are going to join this new members inquirers class. You may just want to find out more about the church, and you can come. Doesn't mean, okay, I've come to this class, now I have to join. You come and we talk about the church, ministry, and things that you like about the church and why you feel like you fit in here. And I'm giving you the pamphlets to read, and we talk about theology and different things for a couple of hours. So we'll make sure that we have that time, and if you need to know, you can call me. Where it says pastor on the back with my name, the phone number, that is my cell phone, so you can always get a hold of me. It's easier a lot of times than calling in the church office, especially during the summer hours, and they're even a little bit shorter. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Our opening hymn of praise, God of our fathers, 573.
Thank you.
Will our worship continue with the prayer of confession you find printed within your bulletin? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for loving us. We praise you for giving us the gift of wisdom. Forgive us when we do not pass our Christian knowledge down to our children and family. Help us to have healthy families. Remind us the importance of love and forgiveness. May we live our lives with focus. May our main focus be on serving you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's take a moment as we bow our heads and close our eyes for your personal silent prayer of confession. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Jesus Christ we are forgiven. Reaffirm our faith on this Father's Day weekend with our traditional Apostles' Creed. I believe
in God, the Father Almighty, the Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into
Let's take a moment and greet one another. Someone here, don't know their name, ask them.
I remember Daddy's hands folded silently in prayer and reaching out to hold me when I had a nightmare. You could read quite a story in the calluses and lines. Years of work and worry had left their work behind. I remember Daddy's hands, how they held my mama tight and petted my back for something done right. These are things that I've forgotten that I loved about the man, but I'll always remember the love in Daddy's hands. Daddy's hands were soft and kind when I was crying. Daddy's hands were hard as steel when I've done wrong. Daddy's hands weren't always gentle, but I've come to understand. There was always love in Daddy's hands. I remember Daddy's hands working till they bled, sacrificed unselfishly just to keep us all fed. If I could do things over, I'd live my life again and never take for granted the love in Daddy's hands. Daddy's hands were soft and kind when I was crying. Daddy's hands were hard as steel when I've done wrong. Hands weren't always gentle, but I've come to understand there was always love in Daddy's hands. Daddy's hands were soft and kind when I was crying. Daddy's hands were hard as steel when I've done wrong. Daddy's hands weren't always gentle, but I've come to understand there was always love in Daddy's hands.
Responsive reading, 679 in the back of your hymnals, Wisdom. 679, Wisdom. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. To give prudence to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. To understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. Happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding.
If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him.
Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceful, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. This time I invite the elder on the door to bring the prayers.
Good morning. We have a number of prayer requests this morning. First is prayer for Ruthie Mall. She had an ultrasound on her thyroid and is asking for prayers to get good results from the test. Brittany Hurst has asked for prayers for Rich Burkowski. He is in the hospital, Allegheny General ICU, with a serious virus, and he is a good friend from hockey, and he is a fellow coach. So please keep him in your prayers. Kathy Segi has asked for prayers for herself for ongoing health issues and problems. Also asked for safe travels to Kalahari and Cook's Forest this week, and she is having an MRI this week on Wednesday, so we pray for good results for that. Someone anonymous, I'm not sure if that was by accident or intentional, but doesn't really matter. They still ask for prayer for Buddy Lowe, who had a sudden heart attack, and we ask that he have quick and great healing. Adele Miller has asked for prayers for Loretta Moseth. She is having severe pain in her right leg. And Shawnee Mueller has asked for prayer for Annalise, who's a little girl who's 9 months old, and she is the granddaughter of friends of Bill and Shawnee. And she underwent surgery on Friday to remove a tumorous kidney. So pray not only for Annalise, but for her family as they try to face this challenging situation. We also have an anonymous prayer request, so just know that there are people out there who need our prayers, even if they don't want to tell us why. And we have a praise request. Kathy Segi wants to thank and praise the entire congregation and the Board of Deacons who put together and attended the Deacon Summer Fellowship last Sunday after church. All who attended, as well as Mabe, Ginny, Lois, and Tom, who helped out Saturday night with the decorating and setup, Donna Lyons and Sue Gill for their help with serving and cleanup, and to Dan Nelson, who provided the wonderful hot dogs and slaved over the grill. So we always praise for happy fellowship, so thanks to all who made that possible. And last but not least, prayers for all of the fathers, grandfathers, and great-grandfathers, and may they always remember to have loving hands. Thank you.
I want to add a few to this. I was at three parties yesterday. I'm just a party animal. Two graduation parties. Christian Teggy, a son of Mark and Michelle, graduated. Attended that party for a while. And Jeff Nix, the son of Heather Perman, who is in service today. And Renee McDonald. Is Sean's daughter, who is usually here playing the guitar. She was married last month in Dominican Republic, and they had the party at North Park yesterday afternoon. And so prayer for all these, for the graduations, that they go out and have successful in college, and then for a successful, happy marriage. Also for the new members class that we're putting together for Wednesday. And if those times don't suit someone else, we try to make times to suit and work around your schedule when we can. Also to update you on a couple of things. Some of you know Virginia Brown. She's 91. She went into St. Margaret's. I forget what day it was. I went over to the hospital, to the emergency room, Saturday, I think. Maybe Thursday. I forget my days sometimes. She's still there. Think she might have had a stroke. She's not talking very well, not seeing very well. And some of you that don't know her, remember Jay and Karen. This is who they live with. And Jay and Karen were over there. He had texted me, so I went over. And also saw Isabel Mellinger. I told you she was doing bad. She's doing a little bit better. They put her in a step-down unit. She was sitting up in a chair, able to talk and able to eat a little bit. So thank you for your prayers. I truly believe that that helped. Mary Ellen Porter, who has been in Allegheny General, think that she may have had a stroke, and she cannot go back to the home that she is in. They're taking her to, or she's already in Wexford House for rehab. So let's be in prayer for her and all the others that are on our list, the Valley list, and just keep praying for these persons every night in your prayers. And let's pray for our church over the summer, for safe travel and happy vacations for everyone, and then a good fall program when we come back with everything in September. I'm looking at some special things. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll lead you in to the Lord's Prayer, saying debts and debtors instead of trespasses. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. This is the day that you have made. And help us to rejoice and be glad and happy within it, to take time to praise you and to thank you for all the good things in our lives. It's so easy at times to get caught up in the negativity of things that we see around us. And we forget sometimes of how loving and kind that you are to us and all the wonderful people that love us and help us and support us, our fathers and our mothers and our grandparents and aunts and uncles and our friends and neighbors and our church and our teachers. Lord, we truly are blessed people. Help us to find the positive when things look bleak at times. And we thank you for the wisdom that has come from above, your wisdom, that sets us on the straight and narrow path. It helps us understand that this life is temporary, that you have something even better, as wonderful as this life can be, but you have something much greater for us. We refer to it as heaven, but being with you for all of eternity. Lord, we pray especially for the fathers this day, that you give them wisdom and understanding, and you help them in their places of employment, or if they're out of work, to find work, and to give them strength in body, soul, and spirit, and in their marriages to be strong, and to communicate and to have forgiveness and understanding for their children and their spouse, and vice versa from the children and the spouse to them. Lord, we lift all these prayer requests up to you, and even the unspoken ones, knowing that you hear us, that you care about us, and you answer them according to your power and your glory, your wisdom and your might that we don't always understand. But help us to accept your answer. Thank you for Jesus coming into our world, into our lives, being willing to give himself that we might have forgiveness of our sins and life eternal. And thank you for this wonderful prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our next hymn, we didn't have a screen song last week, but we have one today. Father, I adore you. Let's bow for a word of thanksgiving. Heavenly Father, again on this Sunday morning, we thank you for the cross of Jesus Christ and what it means for the world and what it means for us as individuals and for families. That we can attend church because there is a church. Those called out of the world into a relationship with you through your Son, Jesus Christ, empowered by your Holy Spirit. Lord, help us to be the true church, to do your calling. And I thank you for the gifts that you've poured out upon us, gifts of song, of music, of giving of our finances, of saying a kind word of edification to someone, building them up in Christ, of being able to read our scriptures and understand them, of everything that this congregation does in fellowship to one another, to love one another, and to reach out and try to get other people to attend and find who you are and find the peace that passes all understanding. Lord, thank you for giving to us and help us to give back to you and to our community and our families. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our friend. Amen. Thank you. Thank Bill for reading the scripture again. I got him a nice short one today.
And no hard words.
No hard words.
I'll stumble anyway. Good morning, Church of Glenshaw Valley. And happy Father's Day to all you fathers. Today's scripture, Solomon is enjoining the sons to take instruction from their parents, or their father. But there are some places where as I was preparing for this, that it changes the sons to children and the fathers to fathers and mothers. So this also puts an obligation on us parents, our fathers, us adults in this church, that we should always act in a way that provides wisdom to our children so that they can grow up in knowing the Lord. And then I ask you to just change perspective just a little bit and change the sons to children of God. And I think this scripture reminds us that we should all, as children of God, go to our Father in heaven and seek wisdom there. So please listen to your own personal messages. I read Proverbs 4, 1 through 4. Listen, my sons, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding. I give you sound learning, so do not forsake my teaching. For I, too, was a son to my father, still tender and cherished by my mother. Then he taught me and he said to me, take hold of my words with all of your heart. Keep my commands and you will live. Bless the reading and hearing of our scripture.
Thank you. And something I forgot to mention in prayer, just to let you know for people here last week, communicants class, we took in two new members, Rebecca and Cassie. So when you see them, congratulate them. And so we're excited about that. Now, I have a Father's Day sermon this morning, especially for this, so Scripture is kind of a kickoff point today, because this is Father's Day weekend when dads are complimented, if they're not all year, today at least, where they're pampered for at least an hour or two, and where they're given gifts. Did anybody get a tie or a pair of socks today? Ties still popular, not as many men wear them today as they used to. One little boy had an interesting description of Father's Day. He said, Father's Day is exactly like Mother's Day, only you don't spend as much on the present. That's true now, isn't it? This is a tough time to be a parent because of all the competing claims on our time, the energy, and money. The typical parent, mother, or father could be responding to all of the following claims simultaneously. The PTO needs a new treasurer. and you are nominated. One of the church leaders begs you to sign up for another year of Sunday school teacher. The president of the Kiwanis Club calls and begs you to be chairman of the fruitcake sale this year. They remind you of all the good things that money will help support. The Cub Scouts are desperate for another leader. Unless you sign up, the den will have to be discontinued. You just learned that a coming retirement will cause some reshuffling. A branch manager position will open up. And if someone will just take on the extra project and work the extra hours and give that extra, they might get that position. The president of United Way calls and begs you to coordinate the gifts from the major companies. He reminds you of the agencies depending on these funds and how important it is. Then as you face all those choices, you glance at that picture on your desk. The children, they're growing so fast. Your spouse, only half in jest, suggests that she has to make an appointment just to see you. Take heart, parents. There's help within the scriptures. Max Lucado, one of my favorite writers, to read some of his books, easy to read and very, very good, helped me discover four important words in Matthew 14. Jesus dismissed the crowds. I like that. Jesus dismissed the crowds. This wasn't just any crowd. It was about 10,000 people who had heard Jesus teach. They had seen him heal the sick and watched him produce enough food to feed each and every one of them with food left over. The crowd was ready to crown him king. Anything that he wanted, put an army behind him. They were ready to go. But Jesus dismissed them. And why did he do that? Verse 23 in Matthew says, after he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountain to pray by himself. He said no to a good opportunity to say yes to a better opportunity. It was a deliberate choice to honor his priorities. Jesus' first responsibility was not to satisfy a crowd, but to be faithful to his heavenly Father. On another occasion, Jesus said, "Blessed are the meek." And we don't like that word, meek. It suggests to us weakness or being wishy-washy. The men especially don't like that. But that's not necessarily what this word means. There's some different interpretations. But the Greek word for meek in the Bible may mean the same word used to describe a wild stallion that has been trained for the saddle. In that case, it means power under control, strength with direction. It means to be focused. So blessed are those who are focused, those who know their priorities and honor those priorities. Did you know there's approximately the same amount of gunpowder in a firecracker that there is in a bullet or a rifle shell? But the firecracker is unfocused. We're getting ready to hear them all over the place very soon. It makes a big noise and really accomplishes nothing. The rifle shell, on the other hand, focuses that power in specific direction and delivers an enormous punch. You can be a firecracker Christian or you can be a rifle shot Christian. It's a matter of focus. St. Paul was highly focused in what he went about doing. He was a rifle shot Christian. He declared, "I press towards the mark for the high call of God in Christ Jesus." You can be a firecracker parent or a rifle shot parent. One makes a lot of noise, the other gets results. It's a matter of focus. On this Father's Day weekend, I want to suggest three truths that help us focus on healthy priorities in our family. First, a parent is a role model 24 hours a day. not 12, not 18, not 22 and a half, but 24 hours a day. And that is a lot of responsibility. Parents communicate values by what they say, what they praise, what they condemn, what they ignore, and very powerfully by the way that they live their lives. Our children, and you know it, they listen to every word you say. You may not know it at the time, but they're listening. They watch every deed, every action that you do. They watch it, and they draw their own conclusions. Mary Jane picked up her 5-year-old son from kindergarten and was hastening on her errands. She had so many to do. She was in a big hurry and, of course, driving too fast. Then she saw the policeman's blue light in the rearview mirror. We've all seen that, and that little feeling that we get. Well, she pulled over and he asked to see her license, you know, standing there at the window. And there was a long silence as she searched through her pocketbook looking for the license and information. And all of a sudden, her son's little voice heard from the back seat, "Mama, he doesn't look like a turkey to me." Ticket or no ticket? I'm getting a ticket. Our children hear everything we say. We're role models for them constantly. If you utter slurs, they pick up on it. If you're watching television at night and you're watching the news, "Oh, there's another 7-Eleven knocked over. Oh, there's another carjacking. It's those darn Southerners. What are we going to do about them?" We need to take all the people from the South, get them out of Pennsylvania, ship them out south of the Mason-Dixon line, and everything would be good. Especially those Carolina ones. They're the worst. But they pick up on it. They hear you. If your child hears you use God's name carelessly or profanely in vain, the child will draw conclusions both about God and about your relationship with God, how you value God and how you see God, how you feel about God. Now, none of us are perfect. You're not going to be perfect 24 hours of the day. You may be sleeping and they come in and you mutter something in your sleep you shouldn't. You know, who knows? We sometimes show our worst sides before our children. And how important it is at such times to acknowledge our failings and to ask forgiveness and let our children know that we're not perfect human beings. A second truth for a parent is nothing can substitute for your presence. Now, I'm not talking about presence that you give as a gift, but your presence, you there in person with them. Many parents rationalize by saying, and I've heard it said, you have, "I don't spend much time with my kids, but what I do is high quality time." A first grader asked his mother why his dad brought his briefcase home each evening full of materials and papers and all that stuff, and she explained that he had so much work to do that he just couldn't get it done at the office during the day. And he's first grader. The youngster pondered this very soberly, and after a little while, he said, "Well, why don't they just put him in a slower group?" Parents, remember this. If you can't say no to some of the claims on your life will drip away like a leaky faucet. You won't make much of a splash anywhere. You've got to have your priorities. A man was in a meeting one afternoon when a man in the group raised his hand and said, "Mr. Chairman, I know what we're talking about is important, but I must leave at 5:00 sharp. My son's vacation Bible school starts at 6, and I promised him I would take him and be there with him." Everybody around the table just beamed with admiration. Here was a man who could say no to something that was important, to something that he deemed even more important. The third truth about parenting is that no one can lead a child to a relationship with God through Jesus Christ better than a parent. No one. Not a minister, not a Sunday school teacher, not a friend, a parent. If the parents fail, the chances become smaller as time goes by that a church or a grandparent or a friend or anyone else can make up that deficit. Doesn't mean it's impossible, it just makes it harder. Children are so bright. If they sense that the Bible is not vitally important in your life, chances are that it won't be much in their lives. If they seldom see you pray, except maybe a perfunctionary prayer at a meal, what are they going to think about prayer? If a child senses that Sunday worship is a grim duty rather than a treasured privilege, chances are they'll stop attending as soon as they have the opportunity to make up their own minds. Mother took her poodle dog to obedience class each week without fail, every week, and paid considerable money for it. Those lessons aren't cheap. But she failed to bring her own daughter to Sunday school or junior church or any of the activities out of church, even though it was free. And one day, God may ask her, why did you care more about your dog's obedience than you did your daughter's relationship with me? A minister talks about his late father, whom he called Papa. He said, I recall some wonderful vacation experiences. However, we caused Papa considerable stress. When we stopped at a restaurant, really hammered away at his wallet and his budget. One Sunday morning, we were somewhere in Delaware, returning from a trip to New York. It was about 10:30, and Papa proposed that we stop at this Methodist church and attend worship service. Mama was horrified, not thrilled at all by the prospect because of the clothes that we were in. And it was time when, you know, everybody put on their Sunday best to go to church. But Papa insisted. Ms. Preacher said, isn't it strange that 40 years later, I remember that day. Papa thought that Sunday without church was like Memphis without a river. Clovis Chapel used to tell a story about two paddleboat steamers. They left Memphis about the same time, traveling down the river to New Orleans. As they traveled side by side, the crew members started picking at one another's boats and challenged them to a race. Words were exchanged, challenges made. You know how men are. They had to take the challenge. The race began. The competition was keen as the boats roared down the Mississippi. And one boat began falling behind. Not enough fuel. There was plenty of coal for the trip, but not enough for the race. So the boat began to drop back. As enterprising crew member took some of the ship's cargo, and began to burn it for fuel into the ovens. Their boat began to catch up. They thought, this is a wonderful idea, so they got more of the cargo and more of the cargo and kept throwing it onto the fire. And finally they won the race, but in the process they burned up most of the cargo. The very material that they had been hired to transport, they burned up to win a race. Parents, our primary mission is not to win a rat race, but to faithfully care for those persons entrusted to us, especially those precious, precious children. Blessed are the focused, those who know their priorities and honor them. Blessed are those parents who put God first and help their children find God through a relationship with Jesus Christ, empowered by the Holy Spirit, not only for this life, but for eternal life to come. Blessed are those parents who seek to impart godly wisdom to their children, because it will last for all of eternity. May God bless you. Happy Father's Day. Amen. Our closing hymn, Faith of Our Fathers, 279. As you prepare to leave the sanctuary today, hope that you felt loved and comfortable. Hope that you felt a family atmosphere and environment. I hope that you go back out into the world with love towards your family. I know families have problems and their ups and downs, but give forgiveness and ask for forgiveness if you need to. Go with love in your heart. Go in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Good job.